Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus is coming back with authority because he must execute judgment. Listen, or else he's not Jesus Christ. He must come as judge, or else we've believed in the wrong one.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Hey, here's a gift idea for the men in your life on Father's Day. Pastor Jack's book of the month is called Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's by R. Kent Hughes. Mixing biblical teachings with practical application, Hughes gives men a prescription for righteous living. Carefully organized, the Disciplines of a Godly Man goes through each phase of a man's life on issues like pride, lust, responsibility, and marriage. Christians need a wake-up call right now to spiritual living, and it's men who must take the lead.
We've got to get back to disciplines. That's what's going to keep us stable for what's next. There's going to be something next. And we want to make sure that our feet are grounded, that we're standing on a good foundation, and that we've got some good disciplines in place to take on the next storm.
Disciplines of a Godly Man, it's available right there at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. Order your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series in the book of Revelation with a message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 5. Now, in chapter 14, we see that these visions from God are not given to us in any chronological order. Still, this is an insightful chapter on judgment and the events that will follow the Great Tribulation period. You see, here in the final chapters of Revelation, we see that there are sobering times coming at the end of the tribulation period. The grace and mercy of God has now expired, but the tribulation saints will finally be at rest from their labors. Having died for their faith, their hope for heaven will finally come to pass. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that one of the final events of the Great Tribulation will be the devastation of Armageddon. But those who are destroyed are only those who have refused the evidence of God's existence and who have denied the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now in his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Another parable Jesus spoke unto them, verse 31, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and which is the least of all the seeds, but when it grows, it grows greater than the herbs and becomes a tree." No, it doesn't. It does not. Immediately when Jesus said this, he got the attention of all those that were listening. This doesn't happen normally. They now heard from Jesus abnormal growth, mutated growth. You guys, you can plant a mustard seed. It does not grow into a tree. Jesus, of course, knew this, and he knew that his disciples knew this. This is not a good thing. The little beginning grew up into this big monster, tree, huge thing. I've heard pastors quote this as a good thing regarding church growth. Out of context, wrongly dividing the word of truth. Listen to this. "Out of all the herbs, it becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Not a good thing. "Another parable he spoke to them, 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven.'" Not a good thing. "Yeast, which a woman took and hid." What else was hidden? Remember the tares? The tares were hidden in the field. The birds came and, so to speak, hid themselves in this huge tree that grew weird. Now you got this lady running around stuffing yeast in a place that it ought not to be going in the kitchen. Something's really wrong here. "Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." That's bad news. If you're Jewish, this is not good. No leaven. "And all these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them," verse 35, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world.' Then Jesus," verse 36, "sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of God," or the Son of Man, Jesus Christ himself. "The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom." That's you. That's me. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. It's a reference to Satan. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. This is exactly Revelation 14. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. That's what we're seeing happen in Revelation 14. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. That's the tares. That's the birds. That's the leaven in the parables. And those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into a furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you all understand that? That's about as basic as it gets. All of that portion of Scripture in Matthew 13, 24 to 43, you can write with authority, applies to Revelation 14, 14 to verse 20. I love how the Bible is the best commentator on the Bible. Matthew 13, 47 to 50 says, Matthew 13, 47 to 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. That's a huge net that you fish with. A dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some fish of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and they sat down and gathered the good fish into vessels, but threw the bad fish away. So it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into the fiery furnace, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus here is talking about judgment, the end of the age. Jesus is coming back with authority because he must execute judgment, listen, or else he's not Jesus Christ. He must come as judge, or else we've believed in the wrong one. He must judge. John 5, 26 and 27 says, for as the Father has life in himself, so also is granted to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority, that is the Son, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. That is, Jesus Christ is the presider over man. Joel 3:12 says, let the nations be awakened and come to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Revelation 1:16. He had in his right hand seven stars, speaking of Jesus, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. That's Jesus today. Is that not awesome? Revelation 19:21. Then the non-believers, the Bible says, will be killed by the sword which proceeds from the mouth of Jesus, he who sat upon the horse, and all the birds will be filled with their flesh. When does that happen? Revelation 19, 21, at the second coming. I told you nobody wants to preach this stuff. I mean, as a believer, I'm saying, thank you, God, I'm missing this. As a non-believer, you ought to be falling on your face right now. If not on your face, sitting in your seat, you should be falling on your face in your seat kind of thing, you know? Your heart should be saying, yikes, I don't want to be involved in this. Revelation 19:15, now out of his mouth, that's Jesus Christ, goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. When does he do that? Second coming. Revelation 2:12, and the angel of the church at Pergamos write, these things saith he who has the sharp two-edged sword. Look with me now in verses 17 to 20 regarding the devastation of the battle of Armageddon. Armageddon is a battle that has not happened. It will happen. And everybody, by the way, every time there's an event in the Middle East, all the newspapers say, could this be Armageddon? No. There are so many precursors that have to be in place before Armageddon happens. We are at least at this hour today, right now, we are at least 7 years away from the battle of Armageddon, at least. Verse 17 to 20, then an angel came out of the temple. Now watch this is cool. Then an angel, another angel, came out of the temple, which is in heaven. Now that means the previous angel, he came out of a temple, and it's not referenced to heaven. Many scholars believe that the angel that came out of that first temple mentioned in verses 14 to 16 came out of the earthly temple in Jerusalem. It's almost like he was dispatched from heaven to search it out, to try it out. He's looking around. And he comes out, and then he speaks to Jesus in verses 14 to 16. He speaks to Christ and says, thrust in your sickle. He's not telling Jesus what to do. The angel didn't say, hey, Jesus, He's not doing that. He goes into the earthly temple, sees that it's defiled. He comes out and he announces to Jesus, thrust in your sickle, for the earth is ripe for the harvest. In other words, evil has reached its max. It's now time. I've inspected it. Good to go. Green light. Can you imagine? You guys, maybe I've watched too much of Lord of the Rings, which was written by a Christian brother, I'll have you know. J.R.R. Tolkien loved the Lord, World War I soldier. He wrote Lord of the Rings based upon what he saw behind the world war empires. Did you know that? Tolkien saw behind the war, the battle. He saw in his mind, he said, there's demons. According to the Bible, there are demons and powers of light and darkness. You know, that's going on in the Middle East right now. You know, the election's over, so I can say whatever I want to say. Let's just stick with what we know here. These events of the second coming. This angel cries out. Another angel, verse 18, came from the altar who had power over fire. Isn't that interesting? This angel's got power over fire. And the angel cried out with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth. This is in reference to war. This angel, Jesus, is dispatched by angelic invitation to reap of humanity. There is an angel assigned to reap the vine, and it's a reference to war. That's how we know it's Armageddon as well. It will confirm itself in a moment. And so this angel's dispatch, verse 19, thrust in your sickle, verse 18, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. That is, evil has reached its place. So verse 19, so the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it to the great winepress of the wrath of God, a reference to the second coming. And the winepress was trampled outside the city. And blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles and for 1,600 furlongs. What an interesting statement that is. You want to know more about this event in detail? It's Joel chapter 3, verse 11 to 16. Joel, the Old Testament prophet Joel chapter 3, verse 11 to 16. And Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 4, speaks of this very event. You can also read Revelation 19, 11 to 19. And Isaiah chapter 63, verses 2 to 6. These are the horrific, terrible events of the second coming. Verse 20 tells us that the winepress was trampled outside the city. This is amazing. Now listen. And blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle. Ladies and gentlemen, that is on the average 4 feet high. The horse's bridle and bit come at about 4 feet. 1,600 furlongs, biblical furlongs, is between 185 miles and 195 miles. That's U.S. or Western miles in scale. You say, how is that possible? I'm going to ask the guys to put up a map, a pretty topographic map, actually, of the Valley of Megiddo. You guys have that one? Yes, there it is. Hard to see. Pay attention. If I had a pointer, I'd point it. But for you guys on this side, this is an awesome shot. It's the best that we can do. If you look to your far left, that is the most northern section. By the way, do you see those distant hills? Those are the mountains that lead up to Mount Hermon. You are looking right straight into Syria in those distant mountains. Follow this. Where the photograph, in fact, you see the road right there, the highway? How it makes like a little dog leg right there? There's like a little V? That mimics that valley beautifully. In fact, look at the air base to the right. That's Israel's most important air base, the one that we'll be at in April. Two of the runways are facing in the way that I want you to consider. When the Bible says that the blood from the battle of Armageddon, it's an estimated infantry that will be gathered in that valley and in that region. Now, that's looking all the way south. You see those distant mountains there? The camera's on atop Mount Carmel. Those distant mountains are the mountains of Moab and Edom. Ring a bell? The royal empire of Jordan, the Jordanian Empire. That's to the south. The other one was to the north. And the blood, that is the valley of Megiddo. To the south is the valley of Jehoshaphat, which lies in the valley of Megiddo. It is shaped like a V. You can't tell from our vantage point. That valley is shaped like a V. When it rains, the water goes to the center. The Bible says there will be the nations of the world. We'll read about it in Revelation chapter 19. The nations of the world with 200 million soldiers will be gathered together. By the way, they've done the math, and every soldier could have 4 feet around them with 200 million soldiers, 4 feet around them, 200 miles long, and a mile and a half wide, a column of soldiers. The point that I'm standing at with this photograph, Napoleon stood right here in this spot and said, it is no wonder why the greatest battle yet future will take place here. This is the general's command center. Dream come true. You can see it all happening. By the way, that real estate that you're looking at is the most fought over piece of real estate in all of human history. There have been more wars right here where you look than any other place on earth throughout human history. The Bible says the blood will flow in that valley 4 feet high. And I don't know how wide that will be, but we know it's 4 feet high. And it will begin in the south toward the mountains of Jordan. And it will flow northward in that U shape. Why that way? Because Jerusalem's to the south. See, what do you mean? When Jesus Christ comes, he will execute judgment upon all those who have rejected him. And when he treads out the winepress of the fierceness of his wrath, the Bible says the blood from those slain by his judgment will flow nearly 200 miles, 4 feet high. To our human mind, it is impossible. I just want you to know, geographically, the Lord has already set the place thousands and thousands of years ago. And 200 million soldiers at an average of 5 liters of blood per human being can easily bring that to pass. Isn't that shocking? Not what you want to hear before breakfast, I know. But it is nonetheless the accuracy of the scriptures. I'm sorry for time. I'm going to give you some scriptures very quickly. I'll tell you what, I'll just go. I got 4 minutes left. I'll go as fast as I can. Matthew 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens or the atmosphere. And then all, not some, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Sounds like Revelation 14, doesn't it? And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. This is not the rapture. This is the last judgment. And they will gather together his elect. That's the Jewish remnant. His elect. The Jews that survive. From the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Zechariah 12:9. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look, that is the Jewish remnant, will look upon me whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns as for an only son and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn. That's in the second coming. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory and all the nations of the earth will be gathered before him and he will separate them one from another. Remember the fish separated? Remember the tares and the wheat separated? Remember the leaven? As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, that's the Jewish remnant, but the goats on his left. Luke 17, 34, wake up, mark it well, don't be deceived by this verse. I am shocked. I taught Bible prophecy at Bible college. I'm shocked at how many people do not know the meaning of Luke 17, 34 to 37. It's shocking. It's pathetic. Again, the context of the scripture demands the interpretation. If you don't apply that rule of study, you'll become a cult member. That's how you become a cult member. You don't study the Bible chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse. Luke 17, 34 is incredibly, incredibly important. Jesus says, I tell you, in that night, there will be two. Note your scripture. It didn't say two men. The word men here is italicized in your Bible. Some of you are looking at me. What are you looking at me for? Look at your Bible. It says, I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. not two men in one bed. He's not talking about some gay world. Though it's two in one bed. He's telling you this event. One will be taken and the other one will be left. Two will be grinding together. Well, by the way, it's night in some part of the world and daylight in some other part of the world. Two will be gathering or grinding, excuse me, together. The one will be taken and the other one will be left. Two will be in the field. One will be taken. The other one will be left. And they answered, that is the disciples, and said to him, where, Lord? Okay, stop right there. Ladies and gentlemen, what are they asking? Do you ask the question when someone says, these guys stay, those guys go? When you ask where, who are you? Where's the question directed? To the ones who stay or to the ones who go? Right. The disciples asked Jesus, where are they going? They're not asking, what about the, where are they staying? The question is, where are they going? Jesus said, verse 37, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Doesn't that sound noble in the English? It's pathetic in the English. That's not what it says in the Greek. The Greek says, wherever the carcass, the rotting dead carcass is, there the griffins will be. Griffins, unclean, flesh-eating birds that eat garbage. This is not a noble verse. Where are they taken? Jesus says, to the place where rotting flesh is at, and the birds will consume them. This is not a reference to the rapture. It's a reference to the second coming of Christ and his great judgment upon those as he separates the sheep from the goats. Where they are taking is terrible. This is not a word of the rapture at all. It's a word to the second coming of Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 5. Glad you could spend some time with us today. Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 5, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Did you know that the Bible has a lot to say about the future? Our future. It's called Bible prophecy. And never before have current events come together so perfectly as to align with biblical prophecy. That's why I want to tell you that on Sunday, June 26th, Pastor Jack's going to have a special event that you're really going to want to be a part of. It's called Israel, Russia, and the Coming Global Reset. What's next on God's prophetic time clock, and what can we expect to see happen? The event will stream live on all Sunday services, so mark your calendars right now for June 26th at 8 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 1 p.m. Pacific Time for a very special Bible prophecy update from Pastor Jack Hibbs. To find out more, visit jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Hey, everybody, as you guys, like myself, like my family, we're going to be heading out across the states. We're going to be looking at some of our national parks and all. I assume that you might be doing the same. Maybe you're going to be going to the mountains, to the desert, or to the beaches. Can I just pray this prayer for you, for all of us? Lord, as we go about this summer, we pray, Lord God, that you keep us safe, of course. But Father, that you'd open up our eyes to amazing things. Cause us to be very sensitive to the little treats and the gifts that you're going to give us. Maybe it's the spotting of a certain animal, or maybe it's going to be a sunrise or a sunset or the view of that ocean. But God, I just pray for all of our brothers and sisters together in this family, Lord, that we would be very, very attentive to the precious things, to that moment that you show us and reveal to us that just delights the soul. So Father, watch over our real life family, keep them safe, and God, grow their faith. So we give you our lives, we give you this summer, we dedicate it to you now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people out there said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.